Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. Now with this week's guest, here's Lloyd Roach on The Spirit of Chester County.
Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County. In each episode of this program, we have a conversation with someone in Chester or Delaware County who is making a difference in our Catholic faith. Today's program is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek, Brogan, and Stanzione in Downingtown. Our guest today is Wayne Lilly. I learned about Wayne from a fellow parishioner of mine at St. Maximian Colby, Charlie Carbo, and he told me Wayne has a very interesting story. But just talking with Wayne a little bit before we went on the air, I found out that Wayne is a man of many stories. He isn't just one story. He is a barrel full of stories. So I'm going to start, I guess, Wayne, first of all. We're going to learn a little bit about you. Now, I know you want this to go on for an hour, but this show is only 30 minutes long, so we're going to have to be brief, okay?
It's going to be tough.
I know it is, but you are a retired engineer from AT&T. You're a business entrepreneur. You're an inventor. You've made all sorts of nifty electronic gadgets relating to the burglar alarm business.
Correct.
So out of that career, what got you into this present endeavor? I mean, how did this whole thing begin?
It's pretty peculiar, Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
It happened because I was working at St. Norbert's School in Paoli as the computer repairman, the old computer repairman. And it just so happened that our oldest son had just recently been married to a gal by the name of Stephanie. And they got married fairly late in life, like son was probably 40, daughter-in-law was 36. They went off to Hawaii, had a great honeymoon, and she became pregnant. They had a baby, and shortly after the baby was born, within a few months, she decided that she had a cyst under her arm, she thought.
Hmm.
And she went to the doctor. My son called me on the way to the doctor and told me what they were doing, and of course that wasn't bothering him, but on the way back out of the doctor, he called me and he was pretty upset, and it turned out she had breast cancer. This was January of 2003, and I was not at school. It was snowing. There had to be 2 feet of snow, and my first thoughts at that point in time, for whatever reason, was I had to get over to school. I had to get my three favorite teachers praying for my daughter-in-law, Stephanie. And my three favorite teachers were Margie Brady, the fifth grade teacher, Mary Reason, the fourth grade teacher, Barbara Goslin, the religion teacher. So consequently, I headed over to school. Lo and behold, I find out that the school has been closed because of the inclement weather, because of the vast amount of snow. And the story began at this point. I pulled into the parking lot. All the kids are gone. Principal's gone. Maintenance guys are gone. But there are three cars in the parking lot. Trust me when I tell you, those three cars belong to those three people. I found them on the second floor of St. Norbert School, gathered in the fourth grade classroom. Margie Brady, Mary Reason, and Barbara Goslin. I walked in. I asked them if they would pray for my daughter-in-law, and they said, of course we would, Wayne, right? Mm-hmm. And Barbara Goslin said to me, Wayne, I want you to come down to my classroom. I want to show you something. And I went down to our classroom, which didn't have a computer, so it was not one that I was typically in. And Barbara pointed to this beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe, exactly like this one. And she said, do you know who that is? I said, of course, Barbara, it's the Blessed Mother. No, Wayne, it's not the Blessed Mother, it's Our Lady Guadalupe. I said, Barbara, it's the same thing. No, Wayne, it's not the same thing. Well, here's the story. Barbara Goslin had melanoma. Barbara Goslin was dying not too long before this all happened. And she had melanoma in her right leg up in the upper thigh. And she had been everywhere in the United States for all the treatments known to man. And nothing worked. And she started going, she said, I was going to daily mass at St. Isaac's, which is in Chesterbrook, as you probably know. And she said, this one particular day, I was walking up the aisle, and this man came up to me, and he said, I want to help you, Barbara. He didn't say Barbara. He didn't know her. I want to give you this image of Our Lady Guadalupe, and you pray to her for 7 days, and you will be made well. And she had never saw this man before. She never saw this man again, and she did pray to him, and she was made well. She prayed to him with the understanding that she has this image, and she also has to share this image with other people in the community for 7 days at a time. So she was called a guardian.
I see.
Hence the name Guardian, right? So, we don't know exactly why she was called a guardian at that point in time, other than that's what she was told to do.
If I could just ask you one thing, I know that you're, and we're going to get to this in a minute, but the name of your organization is called Guardians of Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
So you explained, of course, how this came to be.
Right.
But were it not for this condition of your daughter-in-law, this would never have happened to you. Is that right?
I would expect that is true.
Oh, okay.
That was the deciding factor. That's what started
so
this
journey.
So you had
not heard anything about this prior to that time?
Absolutely not. Hmm. I couldn't even recognize her as being Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Right. That doesn't... I guess I would have considered myself to be an average Catholic, going to church every Sunday, right, et cetera. So consequently, Barbara explained to me that we could take this image to our daughter-in-law up in Bucks County in 2 weeks. Other families were scheduled to get her in the meantime. I said, fine, we can wait 2 weeks, but that all changed the following day because daughter-in-law was scheduled to go get a PET scan, the latest and greatest in cancer detection, mm-hmm. right? And she had the PET scan. The PET scan said now she has cancer everywhere,
yeah.
liver, back, here, there, yeah. everywhere, right? She has less than 2 years to live. I said, oh, God, all right. Had to get back to Barbara. Barbara, I can't wait 2 weeks. I need the image today. She jumped the other people's turn. She gave it to Harriet and I. We took the image to Bucks County that night. Here's Stephanie, the image of health. Had been running 5 miles a day. There's little Ben on the floor, 3 or 4 months old. You have a hard time understanding what's going on. Why is this happening? Why is God doing this, right? We left the image there. We said our 5 Hail Marys, which has become the standard, by the way. And the next day, Stephanie and her husband, Mark, went into Fox Chase for some follow-up tests, CAT scans, MRIs. Turned out all the cancer was gone except for the breast cancer. That was the beginning of what has been a long, long story since then.
We're speaking with Lorraine Lilly. Lane and his wife, Harry, live in Paoli, and as I mentioned when we started the program, I really didn't know what I was in for when I came here today. And to say it's an extraordinary story, of course, is an understatement. So the miraculous quality, obviously, of this image and, of course, the experiences of many people with this particular image. And by the way, so you know, we're on the radio, but we're in Wayne's dining room in his house here in Paoli. And there is maybe a 10 by 15 inch large framed mm-hmm. version of this Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I have seen similar images all my life. I never knew there was a difference. To me, it was just the Blessed Mother, right? So just shows you what we know.
That's right.
But, okay, so your new organization of some few months old is called the Guardians of Guadalupe. So what are you guarding? Who's being guarded?
Our Lady of Guadalupe obviously does not need to be guarded.
Right.
It was a name that I coined. For whatever the reason, it just seemed to fit the occasion. That story began, believe it or not, Lloyd, in 2003. And these miracles, let's call them miracles. I don't know whether they're miracles. But in my mind, they are miracles. And they have continued one after the other, after the other, after the other. And they've been much more dramatic than the first one. Mm. And there's no way to explain this. My wife, Harriet, will sit over there. And she said to me when all this started, where, in fact, are you getting all this religion? I said, I don't really have all this religion. I don't know what's happening to me. I'm doing apparently what it is that Our Lady wants me to do. And that's exactly what I'm doing. Why I decided to call it Guardians of Guadalupe, I don't know. It just seemed like a great name, and that's why I'm using it. And you really have to, you know, to go through each one of these situations takes exactly 35 minutes because I've been doing this quite a number of times. And I could skip through a lot of the ones in the middle. And I think it's important for everybody to know some of these other occasions, some of these other situations, some of these other miracles that have occurred. And let's come up here to the most recent time. We will. My wife has a cousin. His name is Ronnie Noe. He's a CPA. He has an office right at the corner of 30 and 29. He's a very accredited, very popular CPA. We brought him down to this end of the state a long time ago to help me start a company. And when Ronnie was a young guy, he fell off a tractor up near Altoona, and they took him to the Altoona Hospital. And they pumped him full of penicillin, and the penicillin virtually destroyed his kidneys. He was forced to be on steroids for the last 50 years. Those steroids have now taken their toll on his body, on his bones. His bones are now just virtually falling apart as a result of all those steroids. And recently I came in contact with him at Paoli Hospital, and his vertebrae were cracking one after the other. And I was leaving the hospital room this particular day, and I said, Ronnie, why don't you do me a favor and take this image of Our Lady Guadalupe, keep it here with you, please say a few prayers tonight, right, and let's see what goes. No more vertebrae cracked. That was not the miracle that I'd like to tell you about. It was a great thing that happened. But 2 months later, his wife called here, said, Wayne, Mother Mary Ann, Harriet's other cousin, his sister, is in town, and she wants to see her brother, who's in Jefferson Hospital. Same guy, Ronnie, right? I said, what's going on today? Well, his liver has failed. His liver has failed. He's dying, right? So we all three went down to Jefferson Hospital. There he is in bed. He has 2 weeks to live, right? He needs a liver transplant. He's 140 down on the liver transplant list. Jefferson only gets 40 per year. He has 2 weeks to live. That's not a very good prognosis, I don't think. So consequently, we're leaving that room that day, and get ready for the goosebumps. We're leaving that room that day, and he looked at me and he said, Wayne, I feel terrible because I forgot to bring the image of Our Lady with me. I said, not to worry, I have another. Yeah. And I gave him another one that day at 4 o'clock. We came home. 10 o'clock that night, our telephone rang right there, and he was crying. And he said, Wayne, I'm getting my liver in the morning.
Nah.
Yes.
Jeez.
Absolutely. And I'm telling you what, the stories, I think they just keep getting more dramatic as we go, and there's no way to understand why it's happening. They just keep happening. There was a four-year-old girl recently we learned about through a guy, a fellow knight over at St. Pat's Council, Frank Keegan. And Frank called me and told me, Wayne, one of the bank people here, one of the tellers, actually in Kenneth Square, her daughter was diagnosed with stage 4 bone cancer. Right? And they're going to amputate her legs. And the mom had to leave work because she's a single parent. What could we do? I said, Frank, what we could do is I'm going to give you an image of Our Lady Guadalupe, and I want you to take that image to her. You get it blessed before you get there, and take it to her, and then we're going to collect some money for the mother because she doesn't have any money. So we did. He took the image down. Frank and I collected about $2,500 for the mother, and it was just a short time later, we got an email, says, the little girl has now been found to be cancer-free. Cancer-free.
And the interesting thing about these stories you're giving us right now on this station is that all of this has been local. This isn't happening in Bolivia or Canada or Sambolia. It's happening in places like Jefferson Hospital, Paoli, Malvern, Downingtown, Westchester, places like that. So it kind of strikes a home. Well, our guest is Wayne Lilly. Wayne is with the Guardians of Guadalupe, an organization that he invented himself along with all the other inventions he has, and is telling us a quite extraordinary story. You're listening to The Spirit of Chester County right here at 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about this as The Spirit of Chester County continues.
The law firm of Wisinek, Brogan, and Stanzione supports Holy Spirit Radio over WCOJ. Wisinek, Brogan, and Stanzione can help you with personal injury, disability, work injury, or medical negligence. Representing the communities of Chester and Berks counties and beyond with the highest ethical standards and professional excellence. Wisinek, Brogan, and Stanzione is proud to support Coatesville Spotlight over WCOJ. You can reach Wisinek, Brogan, and Stanzione at 610-594-1600 or on the World Wide Web at wisinekbrogan.com.
You're listening to The Spirit of Chester County right here at 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP, Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley. And with us is Wayne Lilly, who is guarding the Guardians of Guadalupe. It's the only way I can describe it. We had an extraordinary first half of some of the experiences he's had with these images and clearly the miracles that have resulted as a result of it. But as I told you when we started, Wayne is like a machine in motion. He's moving around. You speak in front of other Knights of Columbus meetings.
That's what I do now.
So which Knights of Columbus have you done? All over the place?
Anyone that would invite me to their meeting. Okay. Every Knights of Columbus Council has a meeting once a month, a general meeting for all their members, once a month. And typical council would have about 120 members. Out of that membership, there ordinarily would be about 20 to 30 people that would show up at a meeting. It's those 20 to 30 people that I have the opportunity to speak to. And I do speak, and I can tell this story, and I can tell it 42 times in a row, and I will have every word exactly the same. Because that's what Our Lady, I think, wants me to do. So I get in front of these people. They either put me at the front end of the meeting or the back end. My preference is the back end. That way I have a little more control. So what happens is I tell the whole story from beginning to end, from the time I'm at St. Norbert's School with Barbara Goslin, mm-hmm. until the final episode of the story, which was almost a little girl with stage 4 bone cancer, right? And there's been a couple things since then, so my talk's getting a little longer. And at the conclusion of that period of time, I merely ask everybody in this room, would you join me and would you be a guardian of Guadalupe?
Gotcha.
And historically, 50% of the people in the room will raise their hand.
Right.
At which point in time, I merely hand them my very simple little agreement, and they fill it out. And I then, at that point in time, I have images with me.
And Wayne is holding up a really strikingly pretty color and reproduction of this image, obviously professionally done. That looks very nice.
Yes,
really
these
does.
images were acquired, by the way, from the shrine of the Our Lady of Guadalupe, which happens to be in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's the Church of the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
Very few people in even the immediate area know that it's a shrine. I didn't know it before 2004. I know it now. We have since purchased everything that was in their gift shop, which was 2,200 images of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which we have here. And this is what I do. So I go from council to council. If there were 22 people in the room, 50% of them will become guardians. They become guardians. I give them the image. I give them the image with the understanding that they're going to have it framed, they're going to have it blessed, and they're going to pray for an end to abortion.
Okay.
And they're going to share that image with anybody else in their immediate area who may have need, like somebody that might have cancer, whatever the special intention may be. And that's it. They paid not 5 cents, and they are then guardians. I send them my newsletter.
I want to just pull back on something that we mentioned earlier, which to me is fascinating. There's a lot of programming on this radio station because it runs 24 hours a day with some excellent Catholic programming from EWT and other places. But you said earlier that you were not a particularly holy roller kind of Catholic.
Never was.
You went to Mass probably. You raised your children Catholic, but you did pretty much what everybody does.
Correct.
So this is a major departure for your so-called Catholic behavior. And it's interesting to me because, you know, today they ask us to live our life like Christ, but that's more of a concept than a reality for most people.
I mean, that's right.
You get in your job, you go to work, you have to deal with all of that, and then you come home, and you know there's just not a lot of room in your life to go and have images printed and make speeches in front of Knights of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
So how has this changed you? Because you're just you're an RF engineer. I mean,
I don't think it has changed me. It has not changed me, other than the fact that I've got this total, absolute dedication to Our Lady of Guadalupe, which I would have never dreamt I would have ever had in my life. It just has happened. I don't think about most. That's what I think about. We have in our bedroom. There's an image this size on the left. There's an image that size on the right. Well, we pray to that lady every night. We become totally dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'm not really any holier than I ever was. I'm still only going to church on Sundays, holy days of obligation, right? That's what I do. It seems to me that I'm doing exactly what this lady wants me to do. I'm doing what she wants me to do. Not necessarily what I want to do.
That's it.
Whatever councils will invite me to their meetings. There was a couple women came up to me at the convention and they said, Wayne, would you make an appearance at women's groups or any group? I said, I would make an appearance and I would come to visit anybody that will allow me to tell my story. And I truly mean that, and I hope that message gets conveyed to everyone. I don't care what the group might be. I don't care even if they're not Catholics.
But that's what I was going to ask you. Have you actually done this before, non-Catholic groups?
No, but the non-Catholic groups believe in Our Lady Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. They go to Mexico City to see the actual Chilma. Mm-hmm. So consequently, I believe that is going to happen as a course of time. I will get involved with those other people, with those other groups, those other religions.
One of the things also that's interesting to me is that our own parish is named after a Polish saint, Saint Maximin Kolbe, who was an avid Marianist. He lived his life for the Blessed Mother, and even though it was not this particular image of Lady Guadalupe, his coming to this was almost the same. Sure, he was a Catholic priest, and sure, he was already in the clergy, but there's a lot of Catholic priests, and there are a lot of clergy, and they're not at that level. You've clearly reached a new level with this. And so how do you see this growing? What would you like to see the Guardians of Guadalupe become?
Well, I would like to see it. I only want it to become what it actually is. I would like to see itself perpetuate to some degree because I'm only one person. My name is Wayne Lilly. I can only be so many places, right? I would think this lady, she is called the patroness of the Americas, not the patroness of Paoli or Chester County or Pennsylvania. She's the patroness of the Americas. Hmm. I would like to see it go across America into Canada. She's already very well known in Mexico. We don't really have to go down there, right? She's also the patroness of the unborn, and it's very important right now during these times that we pray to her to end abortions. And I truly do believe that, and I truly think that if we can get this word out to enough people, that will happen.
Well, yeah, and we spoke to the Grand Knight of one of the KFC chapters last month, and he talked about how one of the Knights of Columbus' mission is the fight against abortion. So this fits in perfectly with the Knights of Columbus.
It fits in so well, yeah. Lloyd, because I happened to learn of the lady that's the head of the 40 Days for Life here in Chester County, mm-hmm. Paulette Matthews,
right.
And I contacted her, and I told her a little bit of my story, and I said, Paulette, please go to my website called olg-usa.org and click on a tab as to why we love Our Lady, and you click that tab, and you will find out why we have become so dedicated to Our Lady Guadalupe. And she did that, and she contacted me, and she said, what a beautiful, beautiful story, right? And from that point, she said, Wayne, we need a place for our kickoff ceremony in September. I said, why don't we do it at St. Norbert's? So now we're going to be the kickoff for 40 Days for Life at St. Norbert's. And you see, so now I will, and I'm going to be the guest speaker at that ceremony, which I think is wonderful. And who knows where that'll lead. Everything seems to lead somewhere else.
You know, I'll tell you something. A few months ago, we interviewed Maestro Valentin Radu, who heads up Vox Amadeus. And you talk about things coming back full circle. This man is a devout Catholic who came from Bucharest, Romania, who lived under the communist regime. And he meets a young woman in Bucharest named Donna, who was a parishioner at St. Norbert's in Paoli. And they've been married for some 25 or 6 years. He moves to America and starts this orchestra called Vox Amadeus, which specializes in sacred music.
Wow.
And it's one of the most popular symphonies now in Philadelphia. And were it not if he had met this girl from St. Norbert's. So it's really interesting that I've met you, and this connection has come back and I've kind of met this again.
Must say something about St. Norbert's.
I think it does. And I just want to end here. I know we could talk about this for hours, and I know you would like to. I certainly would. But just tell me how everyone can get a hold of you. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
I think the best way to get a hold of me would be to visit our website, which is www.olg-usa.org. You may also contact me at my email address, which is fairly simple to remember, w.lilly, L-I-L-L-Y, at verizon.net. You may also call me on my cell phone, 610-659-5752, and I surely, surely look forward to hearing from you.
Well, Wayne, you've been extraordinary. I think this is one of the most extraordinary programs we've done on this series, and I really, really appreciate you very much taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
We go all over the place here. We this program is centered in Chester County, but we sometimes cheat and go to Delaware County, and we've even been to Center City once. We talked to one of the new bishops in the archdiocese, and in fact, the guy that runs our station here, Dale Meyer, says, "What were you doing in Center City? It's nowhere near Chester County." Because I said he had a story. That's why we kind of follow the stories. So in this case, you took care of both accounts for me. You have a great story, and you also happen to be in Chester County. So thanks a lot. Well, thank you very much, and I've really enjoyed talking with you. And maybe if we haven't loused this up, you'll allow me to come back and talk to you again.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks again, Wayne Lilly of the Guardians of Guadalupe. And again, repeat the website. It's olg-usa.org. The Spirit of Chester County was made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek, Brogan, and Stanzione in Downingtown. To learn more, call them at 610-594-1600. And thanks again for joining us on The Spirit of Chester County, exclusively on Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 WISP and 1420 WCOJ.
You have been listening to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. The Spirit of Chester County is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek, Brogan, and Stanzione in Downingtown. Join us again next time on The Spirit of Chester County, right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley.